Good morning. I'm very excited to spend the next half hour with you looking at the words of Yeshayahu as well as the words of Lecha Dodi. So we're going to give people just one more minute to jump on to the program and get started straight away. Good morning. My name is Adina Schmidman, and I would like to start firstly by thanking Mrs. Emma Katz from Neely for arranging this robust learning program, as well as for asking me to join you this morning. I'm very excited to be speaking about the words of Yeshayahu and Lecha Dodi, as I think that the messages, while written so many years ago, both Yeshayahu thousands of years ago and Lecha Dodi about 500 years ago, both are still so relevant for our lives today. So this is just a taste of the depth that one can explore as far as the words of Lecha Dodi. But hopefully in our time together this morning, I will whet your appetite and certainly encourage you in these next weeks to invest the time and energy in the words of Lecha Dodi. So if we take a look at Lecha Dodi, one finds several themes. And I encourage you, you can first of all introduce yourself in the chat box, say where you're from, and feel free to jump in with sharing what are the themes that you see in the words of Lecha Dodi. This is source one on your source sheet. These are going to be slides. If anyone would like the slides afterwards, certainly you can feel free to email me. They're ever so slightly different than the source sheet. But again, knowing what you know about Lecha Dodi, if you could think about what are the themes of Lecha Dodi. So feel free to put it in the chat box. What are we saying when we sing Lecha Dodi every Friday night? There's a term in when you teach called wait time. So I'm not sure if wait time on Zoom is different than wait time in a classroom. But because our time is limited, I'll jump in. But certainly feel free. Oh, here we are. Thank you, Jacqueline, for jumping in. It's like a wake up call that Shabbat is coming. Renee, meeting the Queen and bringing her to our home. So we're hearing a theme of Shabbos. Any other themes that strike you? Shabbos as the bride. Great, Robin. Love, welcome. Thank you, Deborah. Think about deeper into Lecha Dodi. Julie, rising and awakening. Mikdash Melech. Great. Any other ideas that we hit on? And again, think about deeper into Lecha Dodi. Did you ever notice that there's a transition? We start off talking about Shabbos, but actually, all of a sudden, toward the middle of Lecha Dodi, we switch gears and move from speaking about Shabbos to speaking about Yerushalayim. And the question that I want to explore today is why. What is going on here as we begin Shabbos and we're transitioning from Friday afternoon, from the days of the week into Friday night, into the beginning of Shabbos? Why are we speaking about Yerushalayim? It makes so much sense, as Robin and Deborah said, and Julie and Cheryl, all, and Renee and Jacqueline, all this idea of Shabbos. But why about Yerushalayim? Okay, so Jacqueline said we're looking into the future. Let's explore this. Let's unpack this so we can understand and really appreciate the words of Lecha Dodi even more. So I'd like to share with you in the Philadelphia Academy of Fine Arts, there's a very unusual, I wouldn't say unusual, but there's a sculpture that struck me as I was passing it. One time I was there with my children. It was the sculptor's name is Story. So he personifies the holy city of Yerushalayim based on the psukim in Sefer Echa, where Yirmiyahu is talking about the destruction brought about by the Babylonians. Look at the mournful woman who is sitting on her chair. She actually is wrapped in a talis, and if you actually would zoom in, you would see that she's actually wearing tefillin. And while she's certainly at a moment of desolation, there is something that Story included in terms of how he sat this woman, right? This woman who's personifying Yerushalayim. And as Ashley Eckhart, who wrote this up as part of a graduate fellowship, writes, it actually provides a glimmer of hope and a power returning to the powerless and slightly dissipates her despair at the destruction surrounding her. So keep that in mind as we move forward in Lecha Dodi, that we're going to be hearing themes of, as Jacqueline put it, moving forward. So taking a look at these words, you see here on the screen, Lecha Dodi, Likras Kala, we have Shamar V'Zachar, Likras Shabbos, Mikdash Melech, all Likras Shabbos are Shabbos-related words, and then all of a sudden we're transitioning to Ir Melucha, Hisna'ari Me'afar Kumi, get up, wear your clothing of glory, shake off your difficult times. And we're going to see these words resonated and not just here in Lecha Dodi, but take a look at source number two. If you take a look at source number two, it's actually, these are the words of Yeshayahu. Notice, or if you take a look, do you see the words of Lecha Dodi here? So I'm going to use the pointer feature. Okay, look at the words Uri Uri, Livshi Oz, Uri. Okay, so you have and then if you take a look on the right, take a look at the words from Yeshayahu, and you'll see that there are words that we're coming across that are Yeshayahu words in our Lecha Dodi. Take a look at the next set of psukim in Yeshayahu. This is Yeshayahu Nun Aleph Yud Zayin. His Orori Kumi Yerushalayim. Again, words that we are familiar with from Lecha Dodi, but they're actually words that are found in Sefer Yeshayahu. So we're hearing the words of Yeshayahu resonating through the words of Lecha Dodi. Take a look here. The words of Lecha Dodi set up across from the words of Yeshayahu. And notice the parallel words that we see in Yeshayahu being used in Lecha Dodi. And then finally here, in another pasuk, Yeshayahu 52, Nun Beis, Psukim Aleph and Beis. Uri, Uri, Livshi, Uzich Tzion, Livshi, Bigdei Tifartech. Awake, awake, O Zion, clothe yourself in splendor, put on your robes of majesty, Yerushalayim, holy city. And then the next pasuk, his orori, kiva orech, kumi ori, Uri Uri Shir Daberi Kvod Hashem Alayach Nigla. These are, again, you see Yeshayahu and Yeshayahu's words in the words of Lecha Dodi. So I'd like to take a look at one of our commentaries on the words of Yeshayahu to give us a sense of a deeper dive into Lecha Dodi, and then to ask the question, why were the words of Yeshayahu used as the template for Lecha Dodi? So this is from the Malbim on Yeshayahu, And the Malbim, again, just to highlight the depth of these words. So this is just an example, but one could certainly do this deeper dive on many, many of the words in Lecha Dodi. The Malbim on Yeshayahu Nun Beis Pasuk Aleph states as follows. Uri, Uri. He says, awaken, awaken. And this is in response to the words that are written earlier, in an earlier verse of Uri, Uri. Awaken, awaken is the Jewish people saying to Hashem, Hashem, you please dress yourself in strength and come and help us. And Hashem responds, you want me to help you? You need to help yourself. You need to get yourself dressed. You need to put in your effort in order for me to come to help you. So there's sort of like this give and take. You know, it's like the child that says to the parent, I need your help, I need your help. And the parent says to the child, I need to first see you putting in your effort, and then I will come and put in my effort. So the Malbim actually goes further, though, and he says that there's this juxtaposition of the words, and I'm going to go back a slide so we can see it over here. Uri, Uri, livshi uzech tzion, livshi bigdei tifartech. The Malbim, as the Malbim, one of his principles of interpretation does, is that he believes that there is no repetitiveness in the text. And that every word and every phrase is there to demonstrate a unique thought. So the Malbim says, awake, awake, livshi uzech tzion is different than livshi bigdei tifartech. And he says as follows, livshi uzech tzion is speaking about the Ir David, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kuhuna, the Sanhedrin, the Malchus, the inner religious circle. And so what Hashem is saying to the Jewish people is, awaken. You need that inner spiritual core needs to be redressed, needs to take on a sense of pride. Uzech is coming from the word oz, inner strength. You have an inner spiritual strength that you need to tap into. You have it within you. Sion representing that inner spiritual strength. Then he contrasts this by Livshi Bigdei Tifartech. Bigdei Tifartech, what is the Tiferes? What is the glory of our people? And there he says it's Yerushalayim. It's the nation. The nation and the nation's capital, but more in a physical sense. And therefore, get dressed in not just that inner strength of spirituality, livshi uzech tzion, but rather livshi bigdei tifartech, wear your clothing being external. You have a physical strength that you need to tap into. Hashem is charging the people. I want to see you find your inner strength, and I want to see you find your physical strength. Put on your robes of majesty, Yerushalayim, holy city. And then he continues and he says that it is ki lo yosif yavo vach od arel v'tameh, that no longer will the uncircumcised and the impure come within you. If you have a sense of spiritual confidence and you have a sense of physical confidence, then you will not invite the naysayers. You won't invite those who are not your supporters. They'll know that you're coming from a position of strength and that you have it within you to hold your head high. And then I will be there for you. In fact, the Radak explains very beautifully, Arel v'tameh, specifically, tameh being the impure that will not come, that parallels the Livshi Uzech Tzion, the inner circle, and the impure being the kingdom of Yishmael, because they present themselves as pure when they wash their bodies, but they are actually impure in their evil deeds. And the uncircumcised are the ones who are paralleling Livshi Bigdei Tifarteich. These are the people who are from the kingdom of Edom, as they are uncircumcised. And he says remarkably, and this is remarkable in the sense of it being, if you will, current news, that these two groups, the kingdom of Edom and the kingdom of Yishmael, are constantly, if you take a look at the Hebrew, Ushtei HaMalchiyos HaElu HaZiku BiYerushalayim. These two kingdoms have been fighting over and grabbing, holding on to Yerushalayim, Miyom HaChorban, from the day of the destruction, Ushneihem Nilchamim Ala HaZeh Zman Rav. And they have been fighting over Yerushalayim for this long time. Okay, the Radak was written approximately a little less than 1,000 years ago. Zekov Sham Mizem, Zekov Sham Mizem. We've seen this, right? The Islamic Empire and the Christian Empire, both of them wrangling over Yerushalayim. Umiyom ha-ge'ula ve'elech, but from the day when Yerushalayim finally is redeemed, maybe speedily in our day, lo yavruba od kime olam. This fighting will not be any longer. V'chein amar v'zarim lo yavruba od. So again, back to the pasuk in Yeshayahu, when we have a sense of religious confidence and religious permanence and physical confidence and physical permanence in the city of Yerushalayim and the Makom HaMikdash on the Temple Mount, that will assure that we will have full ownership and dominion over our city and our land. So the question that we want to address in our remaining time together is, why did Rabbi Shlomo HaLevi Alkabetz choose the words of Yeshayahu, and specifically these words, in his writing of Lecha Dodi? So I think for that, we have to have a little bit of a history of who was Rabbi Shlomo HaLevi Alkabetz, and when did he write the words of Lecha Dodi? So if you buckle up your seatbelts and take a little time travel with me, we're traveling back to the year 1540. If you take a look at this graphic picture on the left, this is a picture from the Spanish Inquisition. And we know that that took place in the year around the late 1400s. And in 1492, the Jews were banished from Spain and Portugal. When they were expelled from Spain and from Portugal in 1492, there was a traveling to the city of Tzfat, in addition to Amsterdam and in addition to different countries that people escaped to. But the Jews found themselves in the city of Tzfat, bereft of their country, depressed, saddened, exhausted, and in their minds, they were so confident that this must be the precursor to the redemption. And so Lecha Dodi and the Kabbalah Shabbos was written with that as the backdrop. Yet, the Kabbalists who lived in Svat, as much as they were praying and yearning for the temple to be rebuilt, knew that they had to hold the people and to give them strength without, of course, having the reassurance that, in fact, the redemption was coming. Here, the feeling of the people was, with such a calamity occurring in 1492, how could the redemption not happen? How could it not occur? How could the Mashiach not be soon to come? But how do you assure that you retain the people's faith, but still give them hope, but without dashing their hopes in a way that if you speak too confidently that Mashiach is coming, and then if in fact doesn't, then they will feel betrayed and bereft even more. So what Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz and the Kabbalists of Tzfat attempted to do was to message how Shabbos was a taste of the redemption, and that through Shabbos, the people would achieve that taste, that little bit, that window into messianic times, and that it was going to be Shabbos that was going to hold them from week to week, and not just week to week, but from month to month, from year to year, from decade to decade, so that the people would have at least the Shabbos to hold on to when they felt so distanced from messianic times. And what Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz, I'd like to suggest, did was use the words of Yeshayahu as a way of communicating this redemption message and connecting it to the onset of Shabbos. If you take a look, this is source 4 in your source sheet, coming from Vayikra Rabbah. Yeshayahu says, "Mitayel ha'isi bebeis Talmudi, I was walking in the house of learning. Veshamati kolo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I heard the voice of God saying, Esmi eshlach umi elech lanu. Who should I send as a navi for the people? Who will go on my behalf?" And I highlighted certain pieces here, but the actual text in Vayikra Rabbah suggests that he went to different Nevi'im. He went to Micha, he went to Amos, and then he finally came to Yeshayahu, and he said to Yeshayahu, "Va'at nechamos kifulos, because you comfort twice. You said," and we highlighted this today in our time together, "Uri, Uri, his orori, his orori. Sos asis, anochi anochi hu menachemchem," and then this will be read as our Haftorah this week, "Nachamu nachamu." It was Yeshayahu who was able, through his words, through his repetitive words, to give comfort to the people and to support them in their journey. And so Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz, in his writing of Lecha Dodi, takes the words of Yeshayahu and, using our vernacular, cuts and pastes them into Lecha Dodi, because it's Yeshayahu HaNavi who has that special ability to communicate that the redemption is coming. And when he wants to, Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz wants to connect Shabbos to redemption, he goes straight to Yeshayahu, because it's Yeshayahu's words that can comfort the people. And I'd like to suggest, and I encourage you to take a look, when you listen to the Haftoros coming up, the 7 Haftoros, the Shiva Dinachemta, the 7 Haftoros of Consolation, that not only did Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz take the words of Yeshayahu, but he specifically took from these 7 Haftoros, the Haftoros of Consolation, because he knew that by choosing words from these 7 Haftoros, it was going to be, it would message even more strongly, it would underscore the message of redemption and consolation in a way that if he took from other words of Yeshayahu, it wouldn't have that same power and same meaning for the people. There's a philosopher, David White, who takes a look in his book, Consolations, The Solace, Nourishment, and Underlying Meaning of Everyday Words. He takes 52 ordinary words, each its own particular doorway into the underlying currents of human life. So I'd like to read you his passage on the word courage. So he says, courage is the measure of our heartfelt participation with life, with another, with a community, a work, a future. this is a part that resonated for me, and particularly I think is relevant in our words that we're sharing today. But perhaps this dark night could be more accurately described as the meeting of two immense storm fronts, the squally vulnerable edge between what overwhelms human beings from the inside and what overpowers them from the outside. Walking the pilgrim edge between the two, holding them together is the hardest place to stay, to breathe of both, and to make a world of both, and to be active in their exchange, aware of our need to be needed, our wish to be seen, our constant need for help and succor, but inhabiting a world of luminosity and intensity. Shabbos is this space between the two storm fronts. Shabbos is this place of redemption where you have a week before and a week after, and an intensity of the week. And I think that's something that particularly resonates now in this corona period, where we are in between weeks, but Shabbos is a place of respite. Shabbos is a place of redemption. Shabbos is a place where we can find courage and solace. And that's the message of that Reb Shlomo HaLevi Alkabetz was trying to communicate to the people of his time, the people who were exiled from Spain, who were feeling so depressed and so low, that you can find courage in the word, in the time of Shabbos, and find solace in the words of Lecha Dodi. And I'd like to conclude our time today with some questions that are connected to the words of Lecha Dodi. So as the sun sets over the fields, and this is what Rav Shlomo HaLevi Alkabetz was looking out on when he said the words of Lecha Dodi and the people greeted Shabbos from the fields, I challenge each one of us to think about Likras Shabbos Lechu V'Nelcha. As we go to greet the Shabbos, what are we welcoming in? Hisna'ari me'afar kumi, shake off the dust and get up. What are we shaking off? What are we leaving behind? Kumi, get up. What do we want to rise from as Shabbos enters our life? And finally, hisorari, hisorari, how will we awaken this Shabbos? And to conclude, I heard a very beautiful thought of when we turn around at the very end of Lecha Dodi, what we are really doing is saying goodbye to the week before as we welcome in our new week. So I wish each one of you a sense of redemption this week as we head into Tisha B'Av, that Tisha B'Av be once again called a moed, a joyous time, and that we are able not only to sense the redemption on Shabbos, but that we are able to experience the full redemption, may it be speedily in our day. Thank you for joining. Thank you for being here. And I conclude by encouraging you to, as Mrs. Emma Katz said, to go back to the schedule to check out your next class. And I thank each one of you for being with us today as we learned about Lecha Dodi. And thank you to each one of you for sharing. Thank you, Rona. Thank you, Julie. And thank you, Marcia. Thank you, Robin, for your participation. As they say with the airlines, we know that you have choices, so thank you for flying with us.